Glad you're with us this morning and glad you're with us on the live stream as well. So thankful for our Kids Zone volunteers systematically and lovingly teaching our kids the Word of God week in and week out on Sunday mornings. So thankful for them. Question: is it okay? Is it advisable to ask God for a sign? So, God, should I be a plumber or an electrician? If I should be an electrician, let me shock myself right now. If I should be a plumber, drop a bucket of water on my head right now. Is it okay to ask for a sign? Just hold that question in your mind. Is it okay? Or, God, should I be a teacher or a policeman? Should I be a teacher or a policeman? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to open the Bible, and I'm going to point to a word just randomly. And if I should be a teacher, let it be something about teaching. If it's policeman, let it be something about the law. You ever done anything like that? I have. That okay? Hold that question in your mind. Is it okay to ask for a sign? Is it advisable to ask for a sign? Should I marry him or should I marry him? Should I marry Fred or should I marry Bob? Show me a sign. Show me who I should marry. How many kids should I have? Should we have another one or should we be done? Just show me a sign. Is it okay to ask for a sign? Should you ask for a sign? We're in Matthew chapter 16. If you'd like to turn there with me, Matthew chapter 16. And some folks come to Jesus and ask him for a sign. And before we jump into the text, I'd like to pray. Lord, you know the questions on people's hearts, and you know the weight that those questions carry. And Lord, I just pray that you would meet us in this text and show us your glory. Lift those burdens. Lord, I ask that you stand in front of me while I'm in front of them. I ask that you talk over me while I talk to them for your glory and their good and the good of the world. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 16, verse 1, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees came. They send a bipartisan delegation to Jesus. You say bipartisan because they were at least as different as Republicans and Democrats. These folks didn't like each other very much. They were Pharisees and Sadducees. Let me just tell you, the Pharisees were primarily lay people. The Sadducees were primarily professionals. They were the temple elites. The Pharisees were really, really into purity and trying to purify the people and themselves, and so they were very suspicious of Gentiles, and that's why they have all the hand washing rules and all the rules about food purity and all that stuff. It wasn't because of germs. They didn't know about germs. They knew the Gentiles were unclean, especially the Romans. The Sadducees, on the other hand, had ties to Rome, and so they could be in charge of the temple and have all the profit that came with being in charge of the temple and all the power that came with being in charge of the temple. They had compromised with Rome in every way you can imagine. Pharisees and Sadducees were different. The Pharisees believed in the whole Old Testament, and the Sadducees only believed in the first five books. The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection or angels or much that was supernatural. The Pharisees did. They were very different. They're very different groups. The Pharisees were trying to purify Israel through law-keeping and religious separation. the Sadducees were trying to preserve Israel by cooperating with Rome. They're very different groups, but they form a bipartisan committee and they go to Jesus because they have a common enemy. To test him and ask him to show them a sign from heaven. That's what we're talking about today. Did you ask for a sign? They come to Jesus and they ask for a sign. To test him and ask him to show them a sign from heaven. And he answered them, "When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red." I can never remember this, so I had to put it in my notes. So we say, red sky at night, sailor's delight. Same kind of thing. I had to read it off the sun. Cheyenne and Brendan were trying to teach it to me, and I got it wrong 5 times out of 5. So I'm like, I'm just putting it up there. And then I had to Google it after they left the office because I had forgotten already. And in the morning, it will be stormy today, for the sky is red and threatening. Red sky at morning, sailor's warning. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the what's? Signs of the times. An evil generation seeks a what? Sign. But no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. So he left them and departed. When the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring bread. Okay, so those of you who are new or have missed a couple weeks, don't remember maybe that last week, because we just are working our way through Matthew here. Last week we saw Jesus feed the 4,000 and had the disciples participate in the whole process. They went and got the bread, they passed out the bread, then they picked up the leftovers. Jesus had them participate in the whole process so that they would learn the lesson about bread and his provision and who he was and all that stuff. And then earlier, we had the feeding of the 5,000, where Jesus had the disciples do the whole thing and participate in the whole process. And we talked about the lesson that we will not learn. And this was like the disciples, this was like a lesson that they will not learn, so Jesus did the miracle a couple times. And so here we are, the disciples reach the other side, forgotten to bring any bread, and Jesus said to them, "Watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees." So leaven works its way through the dough and ferments the dough. So it's like friendship bread. I don't know if you've ever done friendship bread where you bring older fermented dough and then you put it in the new dough and you work its way through and then it ferments that and then it rises, but you save a little bit and bring it out for next week. This is how they made bread. They would take some of the dough out, it would ferment, they would bake their loaf, and then they would put it. Well, and thinking specifically about signs, right? Here's the first thing I tell you about signs. So we're asking the question, is it okay to ask for a sign? Should I ask for a sign? First thing I tell you about signs is Jesus doesn't do signs on command. Jesus doesn't do signs on command. So why not? That's my question. Why not do signs on command? Because wouldn't it help them believe? So Jesus, they come to Jesus and say, "Go ahead, do a sign. We'll decide if you're the Christ." Like kind of standing back, arms crossed over their shoulders, like, "Prove it. We'll decide." If Jesus did a sign, like, wouldn't it have helped them believe? Imagine that, like, "Well, what kind of sign do you want? Make me a pot of gold." Kazam! There's a pot of gold. I'm almost convinced. "Now make me 6 inches taller with bigger biceps." Kazam! Now I'm almost convinced. Do you see how that could go wrong? Do you see how, here's the really pernicious thing. Do you see how that would kind of make them God of God? Because they're standing back, they're the ones in control, they're the ones judging, saying, "Go ahead and do a sign, I'll decide whether or not you're real." Do you see how it kind of puts them in charge? So when we say, "God, I'll believe you if you," who's really in charge there? If God says, "Okay, anything you want, I'll do anything you want here, take it," then we're the one in charge, and God's not in charge. Can you see it? Let me show you a video. Maybe this will help. I should warn you, this is a very serious video. Okay.
All right, Clemmy, can you shake? Good girl. Can you lay down? Roll over. Good girl. Okay, sit. High five. Good girl. Okay, sit. Bang. Can you dance? Dance. Okay, bring it in. Good girl. Oh, good girl. High five. Good girl.
Here's why I show you that video. We think, we'd never say this, but we think we can have a similar relationship with God. I'll give you a treat if you do what I ask you to do. Treat equals prayer. Like, I'll say my prayers, I'll be a good boy. Now, will you do what I want you to do? It comes from a similar place of standing back and saying, give me a sign. Prove it. Like, I'll give you a treat. You just do what I tell you to do. We'll have a deal. I'll pray, you answer my prayers. I'll be a Christian if you just behave the way I want you to behave. See, the reason I think this is so pernicious and it kind of works its way into us without us knowing it is I've kind of experienced it myself. When our son died, like, it threw me for such a loop. And I remember thinking, well, I guess I can't trust you to keep my kids alive. I thought we had a deal. I would be a good boy and be a good Christian, and you'd be my God, and I'd be your kid. And part of the deal that I hadn't ever really articulated is, and you keep my family safe. He's God. He's God. He determines the relationships. We don't. We just surrender to him as God and trust him. So, is it okay to ask for a sign? Well, the first thing is, Jesus doesn't do signs on command. So if you think that you're going to enter into a relationship with him by him doing what you ask, every time you ask it, you're setting yourself up for disappointment and frustration. That's the first thing. He doesn't do signs on command because he's God and we're not. Second, what Jesus offers them here is the sign of Jonah, which, I don't know, I always thought, well, who could believe if all they had was the sign of Jonah? Like it's a lesser sign. Did you see that? So when we go through, when we're reading it, and Jesus says, you guys can't even read the signs of the times. And then verse 4, an evil and adulterous generation seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah. So he left them and departed. And I'm like, well, the sign of Jonah, that's not a very good sign. But think about what the sign of Jonah is. Think about what the sign of Jonah is for a second. Because I had never really thought through like how impactful and real and awesome the sign of Jonah is. So if you think of like maybe a map, Garden of Gethsemane is still today. You can still go there today. It's still a very quiet, peaceful place in the middle of a very turbulent and very busy city. And you can see it here on the map, and it is across the Kidron Valley from the Temple Mount. You can see the Temple Mount from Jerusalem. And so Jesus is there. And you have to believe that some of these Pharisees and Sadducees, the Sadducees were the priests, and we know that the priests went with the Roman detachment to the Garden of Gethsemane to see Jesus, some of the high priests. They, at least these Pharisees and Sadducees that were asking for a sign, would have at least known some people who went to the Garden of Gethsemane. We also know that some of the Pharisees were there at the Garden of Gethsemane to go and arrest Jesus. They either were there themselves or they knew people that went to the garden to arrest Jesus. They were there themselves. Remember, we're talking about the sign of Jonah. I'll bring it back to the sign of Jonah in just a minute. They knew people or were there themselves in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then they knew people or were there themselves in the house of Caiaphas where they have the trial for Jesus? Shane and I have been to the house of Caiaphas and going down into this dark, dank, scary little basement where Jesus was probably held captive. Like, it's a real place. You can go there today. So some of them were there. Some of them knew people. All of them would have known people that were at the house of Caiaphas, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Some of them would have gone to the stone pavement where Pilate had the discussion with Israel, and all of them would have at least known people who saw Pilate condemn Jesus to death. Some of them would have been there. All of them would have known people that saw Jesus condemned to death. Some of them would have followed Jesus down the Via Dolorosa out to Golgotha, which is the place of the skull. All of them would have known people who followed Jesus down the Via Dolorosa to Golgotha, called the place of the skull. All of them would have known people that saw Jesus actually die. Some of them would have just known people that have saw Jesus die. And all of them would have known people, or some of them would have seen it themselves. They would have seen the empty tomb with the crime tape around it. That's the sign of Jonah. The sign of Jonah is, like Jonah, I'm going to go down into death, and I'm going to come out again on the other side alive. That's a pretty good sign that he is the Christ. That's not some little sign that you're like, well, who could believe if all they had was the sign of Jonah? They saw him die, or they knew people who saw him die. And they saw the empty tomb, or they knew people who saw the empty tomb, and they're like, I don't think it's real. I don't know. There's always a way to explain it. You know, you can always doubt. You can always find a way to doubt. Any sign that God gives you, you can be like, well, there's a coincidence that explains that. Jesus is not going to coerce you into believing. It is a choice. What we said is, Jesus doesn't do signs on command. Then we said, everybody gets a sign of Jonah, even the most hard-hearted people. Even the most hard-hearted, questioning people, which we have the Pharisees and the Sadducees here. Now, I forgot to say this earlier. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they come and test him and say, give us a sign. That'd be like asking me to say something. Jesus had been doing signs. He'd been doing a lot of signs. You know, if you have your Bibles open and you look back up in verse 31, chapter 15, verse 31, so that the crowd wondered when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. Like, Jesus has been doing signs. But they're like, well, we got to see it. Go ahead, prove it. He's not going to coerce belief. And he's not going to let you be God of him so that maybe you'll believe he's God. Because if he did that, then you'd always believe you were God and not him. So Jesus doesn't do signs on command. Number two, he gave the sign of Jonah to everyone. And number three, the signs he gave were to prove that he is the Christ. The sign he gave is to prove that he is the Christ. And so you see in Matthew chapter 16, so if we look at the next paragraph, which we're not going to look at next week, because next week I'm going to do a marriage sermon, but the week after that, We'll see Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. And Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Jesus reveals to Peter that Jesus really is the Christ because of Peter taking seriously and thinking about the signs that Jesus had been doing. The thing is, Jesus tells them, now don't tell anyone that I am the Christ, because the disciples have zero idea what that means. They think that means he's going to beat up Romans and reestablish Israel as the new Rome. reset up the Davidic kingdom that takes over the whole world. So he says in verse 20, then he strictly charged them not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. And then he explains what it is for him to be the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples he must go up to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and then the third day be raised. We're going to talk about that text on Easter. Jesus gives signs that mostly show who he is, that he is the Christ, that he is the Savior of the world. So that this is the sign of Jonah. This is what the sign of Jonah means, so that they will understand that he died our death, the death we deserve. He took our sins onto himself and went down and died our death for us, taking our guilt, our shame, the wrath of God, the judicial wrath of God in our place, died our death, then showed that the wrath of God is satisfied, that he rose again on the third day, conquering death. He is the Messiah. He is the true and living King. Like, this is what the signs show. And that's not the kind of signs that we often want. The kind of signs we want are, should I be an electrician or a plumber? Should I be a pastor or a policeman? Should I be a teacher or I just can't think of another career right now. I got off track. A garbage man, yeah. What should I do? That's the kind of sign we want. Should I marry him or him? Should I have this many kids or that many kids? What should I do? We want God to tell us why is it that we want God just to tell us what we're supposed to do? So we have somebody to blame if it doesn't work out. Well, you told me to do this. I mean, the reasons I do this, and I have done this, the reasons I've done this is like, give me this sign or this sign. Tell me which one I'm supposed to do. Tell me if I'm supposed to go there or go there. Be this or be that. Like, look, man, I prayed agonizing prayers when I was in college. Just show me what to do. Like, I know I'm not supposed to be a pastor, but show me what I'm supposed to do. Prayed agonizing prayers. Like, I knew to the bottom of my soul that I was not going to be a pastor. I knew God had a different plan for me, but I just wanted him to email me and tell me what it was so that I could just do it. Just tell me and I'll do it. I think it comes from the same place of wanting to be God of God and saying, I want you to make my life more convenient. I want you to make my life easier. I want you to save me the pain of the wrong path. I want you to save me the frustration of the wrong choice. So I'm going to look at you like a genie in a bottle, or I'm going to use you like a decoder ring to like tell me what the right path should be so that I don't have the frustration of picking the wrong thing. And God is like, you grow up by making choices and living with them. I'm after your maturity. I'm after your growth, not your convenience. He gave us signs that he is the Christ. So the question is, then, what should we do? Or because what we've said is Jesus won't do signs on command. He gave everyone the sign of Jonah. Even the most hard-hearted people have the sign of Jonah. And he gave signs that he is the Christ. So what should we do? I think the application I'm really coming to is kind of back to the disciples. The disciples, remember, were stressed out, frustrated, worried because they didn't bring any bread. And they're like, we're going to go hungry, or he's going to get mad at us, or, you know, whatever they were. Whatever they were stressed out, frustrated, they didn't bring any bread. if you're stressed out and frustrated right now, why are you stressed out, frustrated? Is it over, like for them it was bread, it's about not having enough. Is it about not having enough? Is it about, should I do this or that? Should I go here or there? What is it that you could really get stressed out about? You know, for the disciples in this case, it was bread. And the sense I get is Jesus talking to them and saying, guys, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Beware of the doubt that will poison your soul. Just relax and know that you are with me and I will take care of you. I think what he wants us to do is rest in him. Rest in what he's already revealed to us about himself. That I am with you and that I will take care of you. Stop stressing out about the bread. Stop stressing out about the next decision you're going to make. Do you think you're going to do something outside of my plan for you? Stop stressing out about where you're going to go or who you're going to be with or how many this or how many that. Like, just rest knowing that you are with him and that he is with you. Rest in his love. So, is it okay to ask for a sign? I mean, people do. I think you got to ask your heart, like, why am I asking for a sign? Am I demanding something because I think I can manipulate God or get something out of God? The best thing, though, I believe the best thing is to just rest in what God has already revealed. Make decisions based on what he's already made known. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that you are with us, that we can be with you. Lord, I just pray that you would hold us close and assure us that you are the Christ, that we are your kids. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.